So we're holding Mishnah Zion. It's in the same Perek, and it says, "Rabbi Yisrael mekol mechabed satira, gufo mechubed al abrios, mechol mechal satar guf mechol abrios." So there's a mussar being mechabeter and mechal satira. The question is, what do you mean exactly by kibud abrios? What exactly means the mechabed? I mean the kibud of Torah. So Rambam says he defines it in three things: kibud Torah hu sheichabed sibuyeha begilui zrizus basiyasam. If a person does mitzvahs with zrizus, in other words, he shows that he's interested in doing it. That shows that they're important. If I tell you somebody's at the door, so you kind of make a face, you schlep yourself. If I tell you somebody chashuv, somebody that's that you have great regard for, that you machshiv him, you jump and you run. So the level of chshivus you have for Torah is expressed by the zrizus asiyasa. Two, v'yichabed hachachamim noiseha, and you are mechabed the people who are the ones that are the expression of Torah, the ones that carry the Torah. So if Torah is important, then the people who carry Torah are important. I have a cousin of mine who lives in a modern Orthodox community near New York, and somebody in this community made a bar mitzvah and invited five, I'm a little embarrassed, I don't know if they were Knickerbocker or Nets or one of the basketball teams in New York, five players at $10,000 a shot to come and to grace the bar mitzvah. So my cousin was very upset. My cousin said, you know, with that money, they could have hired another Rebbe, this and that. So I told him, I don't think that that's the avla. There's enough money in that community to go around to hire as many rebbeim as they would like. That's it. I said, would he have paid $10,000 to have Soloveitchik come? Maybe would have paid a cab fare for Soloveitchik. So it's a very clear message to the boy that Chachamim, that Tamir Chachamim don't have a fraction of the value of somebody who's a basketball player. And that's very, very clear. So being mechabit people, if Torah is something that's chashiv, so lumdeho should be something that's chashiv. Just like a person who appreciates sciences, and if you tell him this is a very big scientist, he's machshiv him. If you tell him it's a very big artist, okay, you know, it's fine. It doesn't not machshiv him, and vice versa. So being mechabit chachamim who carry Torah is a sign of where you're holding in terms of your own value for Torah. And how much does a person appreciate the sfarim that were made in it? Is the opposite of it. The Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah quotes this, and he quotes this Mishnah, and he says that if you sit in front of a Sefer Torah, when you sit in front of the Torah, you should sit b'kovod roish, b'emor b'fachat. And talking about, and he quotes his Mishnah as being mechabed, you know, and things of that nature. So it's just your reaction to it, in how you treat it, with what reverence, says something about you're being mechabed it or you're being machshav it or not. Okay, the next one is in Aloch is Mishnah Yudches. Who are your oimer? Yofa shachas b'tshuva ma'isantoyim b'olam hazeh kichaya olam haba. Yofa shachas l'koros ruach b'olam haba mikol chay olam haba. So it explains. Kfar b'ayinu b'asiri misanhedrin. She'enach ha'mo v'shleim zet esefes. I explained that after death, a person cannot add anything or be mashing himself in any way, to what was. a person in this world can change. A person can add to stature, can be mashlimit. Well, zeh roimer Shlomo ba'omro ke'ein ma'ise v'chesh v'da'as v'chochma shal ha'olach sham. That's what Shlomo meant when he said, there is no mice and cheshbin in the place we're going to. Al b'matzav shelcha adam bo yeshar loylam. So you have nothing to find over there. Over there you will bring whatever you brought from here. B'lazeh ro'oi lishtadl b'zeh azman ha'katzim ot. That's a person should work hard in the short time that we have in this world. B'la'abdo ol b'knias ha'mailas b'vad. And he should use it only for acquiring mailas. Because it's a never, whatever mila we don't have here, we'll never ever have. And because Hasidim were aware of this, they saw fit to use this world only for acquisition of chachma and be moisiv chachma. There's vichu zmanam kuloi al pi emes. They use all the time for emes like bizbizum and binyan magashma esaviyase. They allotted a very small time for gashma to giyanim. Or with David Shem Shabaladav, not anything that's a chreach they use. They made use of their time for it. Vacherim, there are other people. Ozlemem kula binyan magashma levad. They use their time for gashma to stuff. Viyotzemen and kumoish nichnesu, and they left this world the same way they came in. In other words, the same level of knowledge as lemus. Kol uma shabo kin holach. So they eternally lost out because a gain in acquisition is possible here only. Everybody sees the opposite. You know, the normal v'yomer al kata rishenish v'sidu oilom, al kata chrenish v'vicho oilom. He said, so if a person sees a person sitting and learning all the time and being asuk in his own things, you know, in ruchnius, and you say, you know what, he's missing out on life. If you see somebody running around and trying to take in whatever he can, vacations, this, that, the other thing, then we say, ah, you know, he's making full use of life. I was at a funeral of an uncle of mine that wasn't from at all, and he has a daughter-in-law who's not Jewish, and she turned to my cousin who is Jewish, was Yid, and she said to him, you know, we need to learn something from this. You die sooner or later, and whatever you don't enjoy, you'll never enjoy. So you got to really enjoy a lot. I guess probably she was also Noa Derish Noa Mekayim. We look at it and say a person who's really not using any, all of his time is going for mitzvahs ma'asim tov, and we say, he's missing out on life. And that's an instinctive sense of things. When it's the opposite, a person's. It's when you have kids, it's like, you know, a kid who has an off day and he spends it doing nothing, he's happy. If let's say you happen to, you need a lot of errands and things need to be taken care of, he gets very annoyed and at the end he says, you know, I killed an entire day. It's really very different perspective of what's called making use of time and what's not. But, the idea that we cannot ever regain it. There's no Gehenim that will give us what we missed out. Gehenim can take away what we did wrong, but it can't add to whatever it is. And he says, V'yom al-kat ha-shen ha-shem sidu olam, on the first cut, they say they missed out. V'al-kat ha-chren ha-shem ha-vich olam. V'yom ha-hefer, it's the opposite. K'moy she-sipan, it says, Samim choyshech lo'er v'al choyshech, that people or sinners turn around, they say light is dark, dark is light. That's what Shlomo's main point of Kohelis is. When he points out what you can gain from this world and what you could lose in this world, who be beer shein revach lechosach mavze dovashach matzekan, and with the understanding that there's nothing after death that you could possibly add that you didn't do here. V'zeh kulei emes v'im tisponim zeh sefer zeh tisponim tispah emes. We have the next one is Mishnah Yutes. Reb Shimon ben Loza Oimer al tiratze es chaverchom shas kaser. Don't try to appease somebody when he's angry. Val temachmena b'shash shemesim mutal lefanav, and don't try to comfort him when he's mesim lefanav. Val tishalei b'shash nidroi. Val tishtad leroyse b'shash kol kolose. So Rambam points out something here. This Mishnah is telling us the right approach vis-a-vis 2 points. V'zeh v'heim, divrei musar b'hatavas achaveiros. It's divrei musar for what makes a better friendship. U'b'acholos ha'dibur b'mkom ha'mol. And it's an hilchos dibur. There are two areas that this is novea from. One is a person does not like it when he is being misratze b'shas kasoy. I want to explain it why. I think it's an important point just in human interaction. If somebody comes and tells me that so-and-so did something bad to him, so there are two things that he might want out of me. One is I should help him fight the other person. There could also be in that case he wants just go around and talk about that person. In itself is something which is giving him some satisfaction that he's ruining the other person's reputation. There's also a desire that his emotions be validated. At least I want to hear from you that yes, I'm the nigzel and he's the gazlan. It's a very important. If let's say a person is suffering, a person has yisurim, chas v'shalom, whatever, he wants a shemeya to sort of confirm that yes, you are a suffering person, and you're to be held in admiration for holding on so much with these sermons and so on. Validating a person's emotions is a very important tzairach. So when a person turns to b'shas tzairoi and b'shas whether it's or even b'shas kasoi. The person, when somebody wants, when I did something wrong to somebody, the person is yelling at me and screaming. More than anything else is, he wants his yelling and screaming to be miskabel, that, yes, you are right. This is the situation. You're the nigzel, and I'm the gazlan. Trying to mollify somebody too quickly is ke'ilu not letting him get the not letting him get the validation he needs. A person is sitting, imagine a person is sitting shiva for somebody. A day later, somebody walks in, and a person starts saying, "Oi, it's so difficult without so-and-so," and you cut in and say, "Listen, it's everything that Rav Hashem did, Kachrov knows what he's doing, it couldn't be better than that, for Shu Gemara, and Amakir Nachem Eschem." So you've basically not comforted the person, you've anguished him. I mean, this person has a tremendous amount of tsar. Listening to the tsar and showing that you understand the depth of his tsar gives the person a certain emotional validation. Yes, your tsar is in place, it's right, and so on and so forth. I had a very interesting I have a neighbor of mine, a block away, a very special person. Her husband was a big rav here for over a yovel, and he was nifta. He was in his 90s now, and he was nifta. Person who was extremely well loved. Adam Choshev Yosef, he was a Rav here. His father was a Rav before him, and so he was nifta a few months ago, half a year ago. So this woman was telling me, she's a sharp tongued woman. It's Rebbetzin's wife was telling me that she spoke to her daughter. Her daughter is a social worker, and social worker, psychologist, something along those lines. So her daughter, I guess, must have gotten tired of her constantly telling her how difficult it is, whatever it is. So her daughter said, "Mom, you've got to put this in perspective. A lady in Baltimore was nifter, just now left a husband with 4 yesaimim. That's a tragedy. Dad was 93, lived a full life, accomplished tremendous, was that? That's not a tragedy. And you have to, Mom, you have to take things in perspective." So her mother told her, "Whose perspective?" And it was a very, I thought it was an extremely good point. I know in the grand scheme of things, there are millions of kids dying here, and 6 million Jews were killed in Europe, and you know, and this and that. But understand my tsar, and by sympathizing with me, it says by Eov, it says his friends came, lonud rosh. They came to shake their heads with him. It turned out that they were offered some arguments, but the reason they came for was to sit with him and to say, you know, I want you to understand that somebody's there that feels your tsar with you. That's all. So one inyan is in an appropriate chavashaft, beinon chavera, is when you there to absorb the person's emotions, and b'shas kas the person has to say his tainus. In shas shemesa mutl lefanav, the person has to give out his tsar, and when he's making a neder, he wants to feel that he made a neder, and so on. Secondly, ubas cholos hadivukar mol. This is for us. We need to learn that words are meant to be used for a tachlis. You get this type of conversation as follows. You know, somebody will say something. You don't feel that you have any way to argue or to answer. So you don't. And I've heard many times when I was at school, especially, why didn't you answer him? You know, I tell them because there's no point to it. Argument is a... it's a tool, it's a means to get to something. So if you have somebody that you can argue with, somebody that is, there's enough openness on his part and common ground that you can prove him wrong, so speaking and arguing is an extremely important task, and you know, you're able to accomplish something. But if the person is not, then what are you gonna talk about? Why? I mean, the talking and yelling and screaming has no tachlis, it's not going anyplace. So hacholos hadivukar kamamol means to tell a person it's not so bad when there's no kli kibul. There's no point to it. The next one is Shmuel HaKotan says, "Bin foilei vechal tismach charein apoy lenemal apoy v'chulu." So the Rambam is bothered by a question. It's a pasuk. So it says, "Bin follow vechal tismach," is a pasuk in Mishlei. So what exactly are we what exactly is Shlomo Melech accomplishing here? So he says, "The ve'afal pisha Shlomo amazet tzivui." Be'etzem Shlomo Melech is the one who said this tzivui. But it was Shmuel HaKotan who would be mechanech people to do it. Now, the it's a little bit very unclear over here, because there is a drush over here that he's making, and he's saying that the charon apoy loy charon apoy nema ela apoy, So he's somewhere dashing over here, and I'm not sure what, you know. So it says Penira Shevra Bein Aveshim Alav Apoy, and so there is something that is adding over here. I'm not quite clear what Rambam, but what was fascinating is that the Mishnah, what you see from here, the way the Rambam learns is that the Mishnah is here are not for the sake of the Chiddush, but for the sake of giving over what's the Torah that all these Tanoim taught. In other words, each Tana taught, most of them gave over something that is new, but even if he didn't, it's important for us what Shmuel HaKotan taught. I want to add something. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Soloveitchik has this in a mind. I know he talks about part of it. I don't remember if this is the Kuda, but he speaks about, it says that they were looking for somebody to be metakin, to mesakin in Birchas Aminim. And Naftalim on Shmuel HaKotan, and they asked him to make that takana, to make Birchas Aminim. So he asks, it's not such a complex bracha Birchas Aminim. It's not such a great poetic work. In other words, why of all the other brachas they found people to misakin? Because they said Shimra Pikuli and everybody else, Birchas Aminim, they had to look around and their eyes fell on Shmuel HaKotan. Why? So he brings one marker that I remember, and I believe this mission might be a second marker. It says Shmuel HaKotan is called Shmuel HaKotan because it's an extreme anav, and he was very careful not to embarrass other people. He was mocked in himself, and he didn't, you know, he made himself very small not to embarrass other people. And you have this Mishnah, Befoil Ayivchal Tismach. He said, Birchas Haminim is an extremely tough bracha because it has to be Kula L'Shem Shemayim. When a person is Mispalel, Baruch Aleinu Shana Tova, Refa'enu, it doesn't have to be L'Shem Shemayim. It's meant to be L'Shem Shemayim, but a person has needs, and these needs are good needs, and they're valid needs, and therefore we're mispal for it. But Birchas Haminim, you be mispal to be oiker a part of the Bria. You mispal that people should get killed, die, and so on. If it's not 100% for the right reason, if it's because you've been miffed, or your ego has been trampled on, or something along those lines, then you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to kill someone else for your pleasure in a certain sense. That's a terrible thing. The only person who could be metakin Birchas Aminim was somebody who has no sense of self, and somebody who, you know, like these two mamarim, the fact that he was caught in and was extremely sensitive to somebody else's covet, and a mission like here where Binfoyle Vechal Tismach, that his lifetime learning was that you should never be happy with someone else's downfall. This person is an oye. So the only one that could make a bracha, that there was mapolas oivim, but no simcha with the mapolas oivim, was Shmuel HaKotan. Very profound. He said it about, fascinating, he said a hespit, it's called a Pleita Seifreyem, on Reb Chaim Heller. Chaim Heller was a Goyer Olam. He was an unknown man in most circles. He was a Goyer Olam. I think he lived in Berlin a lot. And both Reb Soloveitchik held him in extraordinary esteem. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky asked to be buried near him. The man was an encyclopedia Alei Adamos. He also knew, he was a very big Baal Pshat. He knew Gersos, Greek. And he put out a Sefer Mitzvahs with his Avder Rambam and his Haris. And Moshev Cook put it out, where he translates from the Arabic. He was an extraordinary scholar. an extremely, extremely humble person. Very, very, you know, kind of barely made a dent. And Rav Soloveitchik said about him that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked for somebody to counter the tainus, I guess, of the academics, l'minehem, Reb Chaim Heller was the most suited person, not only because he knew everything and was an extraordinary goyin, but his humility was a tremendous foil to them. And basically, that's the point he fleshes out in Pleita Sefreya. Very, very, very beautiful hesped, Kedarko. But this is the point he says in Shmuel Katan. But if the way the Rambam says that what we learn is not just a new halacha din hanhaga. What we're learning is we're trying to learn up Shmuel Katan, and we ask ourselves, what was Shmuel Katan's life? What did he build his life around? So the fact that it's a pasuk is not nigareya from that lesson. Okay, next one. Elisha ben Avuh Chafalef. Elisha ben Avuh said, "Lamed Torah, yeled ma'ar doimer ledyeksu al niar chadash. Lamed zaknu ma'ar doimer ledyeksu al niar mochuk. Yoyma shalimud beyaldos yiskayim lo teikas yikhasay." When you learn something young, it lasts and you don't forget it so quickly. But inyan belimud azikne behefich v'zem avuah v'yadua. So it's not. When you glance at the Mishnah, it sounds as if it's easier to learn things when you are young than when you're old, and that certainly is true. But he also says it's miskayim a lot better. I want to explain it, not really to do with the Rambam. I mean, just the fact that Rambam says that's miskayim. The Akadosh Baruch Hu created the brain in a way that memories are formed in layers. In other words, the things that we learn at a younger age are to us a lot more emes and real and good and true and so on than what we learn later. That's the way we always have like a template. We have what to compare our new experiences to. We form, the younger we are, the more we form our basic concept of the world and what's right and what's wrong and what's normal and what's not normal. And as we grow older, it rests on top of what was. So the Teva Dvarim is the earlier things become a very, very ingrained memory. If I can give a mashal, in a computer, you have many layers of language. You have machine language, and then you have basic languages, and then you have specialized languages. And the computer basically translates everything down into its core components. If a person changes societies, he usually translates the new everything that he meets new in a new culture into his old culture, even if he likes it better. But that's the way it is. So the memory of earlier things that a person learned is much, much stronger because it registers on a much deeper chelik of a person's tfisa than stuff they learn later. One more. So learning from skenim is better. Also, it's like eating mature grapes and drinking wine that has aged. Yomer Rabbi Yosi, shechochmas atzir miyesh basfekis. In other words, no chachma is able to be laid out perfect from beginning till end. It's all, a person learns something, thinks it through, forms ideas, and there's a certain process where things slowly fall into place with time. So a young person hasn't had time, and therefore there are many sveikis, and what you're getting are raw concepts. They haven't settled yet, they haven't matured, as opposed to an adult. Ve'oma Rebbe, al tifchen yayin al pi kelov, Ki yesh klin. Rebbe said, don't judge something by the chitzonis. Ki yesh kli chadash shebo yayin atik, o kli atik reik shein davaboy. Kach yesh tzion sheshoseihem madeyem mevurorim, lis urban bilbul, kma yayin atik ashen vishmor vachosim imenu. Beis kenim shein chochman klal, bekol shein sheshem chochman bells and revis. So Rebbe says that zikna and nairus don't have to do with age bedafka. It has to do with chachma and so on. I want to make a point clear here. Rabbeinu HaKadosh holds that zikna is a maila. It says v'dalta pnei zokin. But zikna is not a factor of the physical age of the person. Zikna is something that's totally in the development. So ideas that I have developed over time and thought through and mulled over are one getter. Ideas that have been I haven't been chewed up well, haven't been thought and mulled over, I have a different category. So it's not zikna per se. So he's not arguing on the concept of zikna, the Torah is full of zikna and so on. He's arguing are you going to look for it in the kankan or outside the kankan? Where is it that you're going to determine the zikna? Okay, any questions or points? I'm sorry? I would say yes, and I would even apply it that he said Lamator Yelma Dema. It says that they say that his father only later, at his bris, decided to make him learn Torah. So it came a little bit late. And there's a famous Varsham Valley Lapyan. Maybe it's referring to that. It's interesting. It would be very interesting to know how this memra has shaykhs to his metzias. Okay. Good. Okay, good night, Kalter.